You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses.
Hey, all right, everyone. Oh, perfect. We're already talking over each other. And the good news is there's only seven more guests to speak over each other. Welcome. And what a fitting way to start this, Tony. Episode 200, and we still haven't figured it out. Welcome to the Guidepost Podcast. For everyone listening, we have done 200 of these damn episodes, and they have accrued 150,000, 140,000 something listens. And this all started with a crazy idea one week. And a couple people that said we shouldn't do it, and a couple idiots who said we should go for it. Fast forward a handful of years, some dry spells where we've gone 4, 3, 4, 5 weeks without doing one, and some crazy weeks where this has been the tool for us to disseminate information from a meeting to the masses in 24 hours or less. We have gotten to episode 200, Tony. We have a whole crew of guests. Want to thank everyone for listening and tuning in to the 199 before, or some mix of everywhere in between. Tony, how the hell did we get here, and who the hell are we joined by today?
Well, we were talking, we realized it was episode 200 when we published episode 199, and we said, holy shit. The next one's 200. So we've been preparing for this for a really long time. And I don't know, you know, our faithful listeners probably remember like the Shop Talk series. And we just had a bunch of people on and everyone kind of told funny stories and act silly. And that's basically what we did. Invited a bunch of the people who have been, you know, pretty consistent guests. And we don't even know what we're going to talk about right now. But when we all get together, it's not really hard to find stuff to talk about. Just got to say thank you. I mean, 200 episodes, pretty wild. So we brought, you know, like I said, some of our closest friends along for this one. So we got Bailey, Scotty D, Blaine, Ty, and Mario. I think we're just going to talk about fishing.
Why don't we tap in with who's been fishing the most lately, which was these boys just got back from, I think one of the last podcast episodes talked about the dirty carp. Some of these boys just got back from fishing, so maybe a little recap of what the hell. I mean, I saw a couple photos of maybe a Samsquatch running around the canals of Louisiana trying to catch carp with a net or something like that, but why don't the Louisiana boys let us know what the hell a dirty carp was like, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. I've been AI video created.
Dude, that was awesome.
My dad thought that was the funniest shit ever, by the way, Tony.
Yeah.
It might be one of the first times where the AI looks more like the real person than the real person.
Looked like it was Greg Allman in a Walgreens parking lot.
If only. I was just, that was quite good. And then the snowball shout out too, which I did in my day getting a snowball because it was like 1,000 degrees that day. But it was a lot of fun.
I'm telling you, man, you tell that AI anything, it'll include it. That's all I got to say. You know what I just noticed? Like, you know, we don't record the video, but I'm just kind of like looking at everyone's eyes, and I turned around. All Ty's hair's gone. What happened, dude? It's all gone. Yeah. Look at it. It's like Samson cut his hair, man.
Some hobo shaved his head in one of the canals and he wasn't looking.
I mean, you have a perfectly normal head, but it looks tiny without
the preface.
The weight of the world has crushed his spirits.
I was like, all right, I was trying to remember everyone who was on, and I'm like, who is that? Oh my God, it's Ty. That's awesome, man. It must be getting warm down there.
Have you ever thought about growing out the stash, Ty? I'm seeing a little shadow under the nose there, and you could probably pull it off.
Well, listen, keep talking about the dirty carp.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it was pretty cool. I will say it was super hot. Got a good snowball. Like I said, shout out Costanza's. I got a sour watermelon snowball, which was a new go for me. Quite good. Mario did a lot of talking in his very Rico Suave way, our most attractive ASGA man in the booth.
Mario bringing down all the fun with all this science and fish shit. Come on, man. I'm trying to trudge through the swamps.
Is that what
here.
You were doing,
the one,
Bailey?
The one thing I told
tournament?
Mario, the pep talk I gave him, was don't be too much of a nerd, man. Just talk to the people. Don't do too much science.
No, it was a good time.
It can help
here,
ties
man. Back.
We got
ties
time.
Back.
We got leaving all this in, Mike. Too. This is a perfect
Bailey,
example
how
of
this
who
is
we are.
Possible. But my mic is on my phone, and I'm on my computer, and my headphones are... irrelevant. So
there's no way y'all had more than like one beer before we got to this point.
They have
collectively
the internet, computers
eight people
now.
Drank one beer.
We all
can y'all hear me now?
What's look, and I'll tell you the other thing I just noticed. This is the first time Cody smiled in a week. Look at him. He's smiling now because he's hanging out with the he's like,
well, I'm glad we don't have video because I just tried to give Ty a thumbs up and my cripple hand, I couldn't even make a thumbs up.
I was
up.
Wondering.
So
I thought
it looked like I was throwing
sign.
Up bloods.
Yeah, dude, I thought you said you switched street gangs, man, when I saw it. Yeah.
Okay, it's Coco the gorilla learning sign language, everyone. I will say about the dirty carp, just trying to reroute here, but like... one thing I do really like about that tournament too is the team names are some of the like
yeah they're pretty
the
great.
Humor that goes on in that tournament is just like I just love how unserious the whole thing is and it's freaking fun, man. I mean, every year we do it, I fall more in love with you know, fighting off bums and chasing carp in the ditches of New Orleans. It's
don't
it's
talk
a lot
about
of fun.
Ty like that, dude. Come on, man.
You say
we
smartest
need to do more
Ty
pot, more side pots, but not fishing related. Like best costume outfit. I don't know. Most closely to being a legal find in the canals. There's a lot.
I feel like if I didn't do Sasquatch as my costume. Blaine would be very, or Chewbacca, Blaine would be very disappointed along with the rest of everybody in this call. So I'm very pigeonholed.
I do feel like if I'm going to throw a moderately sane observation.
Bailey, don't even
back
tell me
this.
You're pigeonholed. Dude, you could be carp, you'd be carp fishing Jesus. You could be Greg Allman, like Scotty always says.
I want to do Thor.
You could be the Yeti.
Well, look at his current sunglasses, Tan. It looks like he's wearing ski goggles. Like, I've never seen a sunglasses tan that wide. Like, most of them are small, the size of your sunglasses, right? Bailey,
I'm wearing some Costas.
Your sunglasses must be huge, bro. You got the biggest sunglasses.
I've
got
to have the bug eye, man.
My Lord.
Listen, I need full coverage
like
at all times. If
Bailey is wearing those
sit-overs,
those old people sit-overers.
I have sensitive blue eyes.
A pit viper.
Dude, he looks like he was wearing a blast shield from a TIE fighter.
I have sensitive
like,
blue eyes.
How's Luke doing, man?
I can't even go outside without my sunglasses. I picked like the worst profession ever.
One time in our third year of dating, second or third year, I took Sarah out to dinner for her birthday, and I had a really bad sunglass tan, and this is in South Florida, and the waitress, an old lady, goes, oh, did you guys go snowboarding today?
Oof.
Seriously, and I was like, that's a tough look, lady.
That's
it's
a
tough
Florida thing, huh?
They were on something.
What I was going to say, though, is I do feel like you talked about all the stuff that like you enjoyed out of the tournament, and it feels like the fishing industry is starting to go that way. Like people yes. are looking for more laid back and enjoyable experiences where they can take themselves less seriously. And I feel like those like IFA redfish tournaments, grab your jersey and meet and show everyone you're the best fisherman in the world. I feel like that tone's like really starting to fade away while this like just go have a damn good time thing's picking up a lot of tempo.
And hey, I'm going to bring it up. I know Blaine's going there this weekend. Scotty sent me a text about it. But Jared DeVincent down in Georgia is having a pretty cool little grassroots event. It's not so little anymore. They shut the street down. There's skiffs, there's kind of a party, a couple of different parties. They show the movie, and then it's kind of like a festival, kind of fair atmosphere right in front of the shop. Does a really good job with it, and just want to wish him all the best because I think that's exactly what we're talking about is just you know, couple dudes trying to bring the best of the sport out. So Blaine, when are you leaving for that? Are you leaving tomorrow or?
Nah, we're going to leave super early Friday morning, get down there midday. And they have that film festival Friday night and just a party afterwards. And then Saturday, they do close down the street in Brunswick. And, you know, you have all these skiff companies come in. They do barbecue. It's just a party. It's similar to what we're trying to do at Tie Fest. You know, just have a good time. People show up. We celebrate what we love and just kind of bond with everybody. And, you know, that night I'm doing a fly tying, private fly tying clinic for, Jared at his shop. And the next day they do a little, get together at what he calls a secret, island or whatever, you know, rendezvous.
Stop right there, Blaine.
Damn, what? Secret cove? I mean,
it's a secret. Sorry. It's a secret party. Nobody's invited.
The last time a grown man invited me to a secret party, I had to call the cops.
Yeah. I was going to say.
That's what I was like. I was like, pump the brakes.
But
what happens but in real, Brunswick stays in Brunswick.
But for real, it's a way for people that are interested in the skiffs. They can take the skiffs out to this sandbar, and we have tents set up. They cook. We have a good time. Drinks. You can fish if you want. It's just more of a family atmosphere. Same thing we're trying to create with what we're doing down at the Tie Fest.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've known Jared for a long time, and he's trying to create a community like we've tried to do here and what we're doing with ASGA and bring people together. He's fighting a good fight in Georgia. And I'm all about that. And there might be a few drinks shared over the weekend. And I'm all about that.
I just wanted to let everyone know. I just wanted to let everyone know it's happening. If anyone's, you know, going to be in that area this weekend, Jared does a really, really good job. And like Blaine said, he's a good dude. And, perfect example again of just a small event that someone's having for all the right reasons. So Scotty, you got something coming up in Charleston in the next couple of weeks, right?
I'm not sure. I just want to piggyback on that though.
So Scotty Froze, I can help him with that.
Spectacular human. There's
our secret party.
Yeah, we got another something secret coming party. Up.
Oh, Soulfly, yeah. What's that, May 16th on a Saturday? Right? Is that what you're talking about? Yep. Like I said, there's always something going on in Charleston. Yep. I didn't know what you were talking about. Soulfly, yep. There's several
this
bands
is called,
playing.
This is called expert local knowledge right here.
Thing you're doing.
Yeah, we're talking about that thing you're going to have a booth at, Scotty.
If you'd have given me flipping notes
know, man.
Before
they
the
got
podcast.
Shrimp tacos on Thursday.
You're like, hey, go to happy hour. I'll see you after that. And we don't know what we're talking about. So, yeah, I'm following you. It's a good event. I mean, Charleston's kind of close to everybody on the East Coast. It's a hell of a town. Your wives will love it. Your kids will love it. Just ditch them somewhere and come out to the event and hang out with us.
They'll love
look,
it.
Look
so
for Scotty in the booth. He'll be a day late, but
it's kind of what Blaine said is about Tie Fest. I think it's their first one. So my vibe is it's one of those events. It's like it's community building more than anything. It's not we're not trying to sell. They're not trying to sell anything. We're not trying to sell anything. We're trying to build a community stronger together type thing. I think that's just what it is. Like drink beer and weed sodas and just hang out in the grass and listen to music and talk shit with your friends.
I will just say I love Grizz's Instagram reels that he's been doing to advertise.
Oh my God, hilarious.
Very
Anchorman-esque. I watch every single one through. Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah.
The one where like he bumped in and they're like hugging in the clothing shop. Nice calves. That just killed me.
Yeah, for anyone who wants to check that out, the actual handle for that, we'll plug it, is Soulfly, S-O-U-L, fly, _co. So if you want to see more about the boys event up there. I think Scotty nailed it, right? Is like, obviously the core of ASGA is about advocacy, but when those moments come up, we're all the more powerful if we're actually just connected. And those are the type of things. It doesn't have to always be a classroom with someone spewing science at you. Like, relationships and connections are what make us a pretty powerful army. So sounds like two different great opportunities to go strengthen those relationships and also test your liver, depending on your lifestyle preferences.
You know, and I've been doing this for a long time. And one of the things I could say that I love about what's happening in our community now is we're not like doing the traditional show, right? So you have these booths and you walk down the lines and you see people, you see rod companies and whatever. So now it's more of what Tony started a long time ago with Tie Fest back in the day. It's more like, let's have a party. Let's kind of celebrate what we love and have a good time. And to me, like Tie Fest, it's more of a festival or festive event. And that's what Grizz and Kyle are trying to do in Charleston. And, you know, I'm seeing that with what Jared's doing in Georgia. And it's a lot more fun. I mean, we're obviously super passionate about saving fish and we love what we do and we all work and we guide and we do all that stuff. But the only way you're going to get more of that communal support is bring it to where it's inviting, right? A more of a fun time where you can bring family and involve the spouse, whether it's man or woman that's involved in fishing, doesn't matter. If we can involve everybody and have a good time and just show everybody like what we love and why we do it, you know what? We're going to have a much better chance at saving what we're trying to save, right?
I think everyone just sails fatigue too. I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but like, I don't want to go walk around a place where everyone who walks to me is just trying to sell me something. Like, just prove to me, like, there are some new products where I'm like, hey, that's interesting. Wow, I've never thought of that. But for the most part, like, prove to me why I should give a shit about you. I think that's why brand matters so much. Like, the old, like, walk down the aisle and everyone just yells at you, like, should be $9.99, but it's $7.99 today. And maybe I'm just an old soul. I'm only 31 and I feel this way. But it's like, I'm just sick of being effing sold 24/7. I'm fatigued by all that bullshit.
To piggyback on what Blaine said there, I feel like the old IFTD shows, the International Fly Tackle Dealers Association, whatever, they were the trade shows, and they were like family reunions. That's where I met most of my great friends. But when they joined, not to shit on the conventional side of things, but once they joined with the ICAST, which was this giant show where they hired prostitutes to sell fishing reels, you know, the naked painted bodies, you know, look like bathing suits.
Whoa.
I think someone's going to be getting a cease and desist from Pelagic.
No, they've tried.
No, Scotty remembers back in the day.
These naked
bodies.
But
I think that the whole show thing changed when they tried to join forces to make things bigger. And I understand why they did. Let's let the conventional people see how weird we are and how passionate we are about what we do, and it'll just blow them out of the water. But the sales tactics changed. Like you said, at these shows, it was more about selling stuff, you know, not about at Carter's, man. There wasn't anybody's trying to sell anything.
I want to know who's going to volunteer to be the naked painted body for next year's Tie Fest.
Just leave Mario alone, man. He was trying to pay the bills.
No.
Okay. Yeah,
nothing but
well,
the
Bailey.
Stash.
If
when he heard he had to have clothes on, he was like, "I'm out."
If your sponsor Pantene shampoo doesn't say you can do it, maybe.
It's Horse and Mane.
How long does it take to drop?
Or
Horse and Mane. There it
vote
is.
Vote for the Cajun Fabio.
You know, listen, Bayou Fabio can make a return if need be.
Hey, no,
for the good of the association. No, Scott, too much.
Scotty hit the bullseye from 100 yards away. It's the White Wivel Wookie.
Wait, what?
The White Wivel, with just the W, the White Wivel Wookie.
What is Wivel? I just saw Scotty fly backwards in slow-mo.
Oh, it felt like slow-mo.
It is ironic that like Bailey and Ty and Mario live where there's like two telephone poles and they have like five times better internet than Scotty does.
Right? Like, what are we doing? Oh, shit.
Scotty's 50% right now.
Can't even breathe.
He's about half. How you doing, Scotty? I'm half.
He's done for.
Yeah. Oh, the White Wivel.
What is Wivel?
It's like the
kid saying river.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a speech impediment. Come on, Arkansas. The Widow Ladder.
Oh, boy.
What?
Cody gets paid.
Well, somebody just laughed over that one, Scotty. What have you done?
You booted Ty.
Ty decided not to be associated with us.
He made a good brand decision. Split second.
Yeah, exactly.
Did Blaine pass out? I can only see his ceiling fan.
Blaine's dead.
Oh.
Ty's gone. Mr. Chocolate, are you there?
Oh. Tony, I'm glad you caught that.
Yeah, I got it. Oh,
that completely sailed over my head.
Cody's so thrilled right now as the editor of the podcast that like
a strange
people are
smile.
Dropping off.
I'm just gonna put a preface at the start of this. It's like if you get like 3 minutes into this and you turn it off, we're not offended.
No,
it's okay.
No, it's fine. It's good to not take things seriously so much. But, I mean, it's been such a crazy 5-6 years, Tony, that we've been doing this damn thing. So it's fun to let people also see, like, you know, they're seeing all these guys and these guys are trying to put their best foot forward, you know, collared shirt and tie. They're giving public comment. They're trying to educate people and shit. But the one thing we will never pretend to be is, you know, not human. That's what this entire crew is. It's real people trying to drive real change. It's not a bunch of politicians or pencil pushers sitting at desks. If anyone could see these videos, I see two vices and like 12 fly rods in the back of all. Oh, there's another one in the background. All these Zoom.
Two of those are for Sokolay, just to let you know.
But no, man, these are real people. Real people doing real shit. So it's.
Yes.
That's crap. That's crappy for those that don't know. Crappy.
For you, yeah, for you Yankee
that's
folk.
That's Kunas.
For you north of
I-10 crappy,
folk.
Right? I almost married a coon ass woman.
You know what that means, Scotty?
Yeah,
Scotty
crappy. Almost married a wild eyed Cajun girl.
Translates.
I was dodging knives like the Matrix, dude. Marrying that one, her dad could fry
like
some fish though. Oh, dude!
I think you were the only one in the Matrix. Everyone else was just normal.
No, man. She had the key.
You were moving in slow mo.
He's still, you know, Bailey, there's certain nights where he still sees numbers on the walls.
They made fun of me for calling them crawdads.
The bugs are not in your walls, Scott.
It's like the reverse limitless pill. He takes it and the numbers don't add up. It's just a bunch of numbers and letters.
It's the yellow wallpaper.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
He's like Goodwill Hunting, but he tries to solve the problems at night and gets them all wrong. Goodwill Hunting, but he's just the janitor.
How do you like those oranges?
No, Sacolet translates to bag of milk.
Huh?
Yes, it's true.
That because their flesh is like a nice, supple bag of milk. Yeah, their belly. Wouldn't you like that to be
perverted.
Said about your belly?
I don't know why we don't record the video of this so everybody can see this tan that I'm talking about. This is like...
Because if we did, we'd go to jail.
Man.
We'd lose our nonprofit status immediately.
From the nose up, you look like a 9-year-old boy. From the nose down, you're like a guy dragging a net through a Walgreens parking lot.
I tell you one thing. Never mind. You know what? Scotty's baiting me into really going off the rails.
Stay on the trails. Stay on the trails.
I'm not. Right, not I'm,
I don't
mind.
Know if we
I'm
have
gonna
a
try
trail.
My best it, to give this a little bit of structure.
If you'd have given us a syllabus,
I'm not sure how to.
Down a Walmart parking lot.
Dear Lord. I was thinking, so I've been down, for those that don't know, I've been down for a couple of weeks. I haven't been on the water because I've been dealing with some health stuff, but I've been doing a lot of reflecting in this window, and one of the things that this just brought me to was I was thinking about last year and the travels and fishing and this or that, and honestly, the most memorable fish that I had was a crappie. Out of all the things that I get to guide for in South Florida and the cool places I've traveled, because it was at the All Species Tournament, it was like the one species that we needed to complete this entire lake. It was at the lake that I grew up on as a kid fishing. And it was like just with a bunch of friends from college, and we were fishing out of a pontoon boat. And that ended up, we caught like at like a buzzer beater, you know, as the sun was going down, we caught like a 10-inch crappie on like a 5-weight. And we were absolutely stoked.
It's actually called a crappie.
No, it's crappie.
We got too many damn names for this fish.
Yeah.
It's crappy.
Well, it's either a crappy or a fucklaire.
It's a fucklaire.
Watch your language, a bag of milk.
to that thing you're saying, Cody, it is cool how, and like that's my dad and I were actually talking about this because he fished with me for the dirty carp, how authentic that kind of stuff feels. Like it really brings you back to like whatever the hell you were doing. Because I mean, I'm sure everybody on this call, your first little fly fishing, you know, experiences were like on foot in a pond somewhere, something super low key. And it's cool to like go back and do, you know, things like that, that just, it's super nostalgic. Tony and I were talking about that the other day, just like catching bluegill or, you know, I don't have any French names for bluegill, Scotty, so don't get too excited. But, you know, I guess shoe pick. We could go.
I mean,
no,
we
what
do
is
call
it?
Every panfish down here a perch.
Yeah, perch.
We call them all brim. Some other...
Well, it's almost like, I'm sure, and I say this again, I'm gonna sound like an old soul, but like I know these guys agree who have been around the world 10 times more than I have, but like it's like the more you go from far from home and the cooler stuff that you catch and these like once in a lifetime things, the more your boat gets more expensive technology and all these crazy things, the more you start to yearn for those like really simple. Like I got friggin' $60,000 worth of technology in the boat, not even counting the boat and the motor and the trailer, and like I would rather just float on a pontoon boat and catch something stupid with my friends. You do start to shift your perspective a little bit.
I can tell you a story about crappy. years ago when I had a fly shop, I had a guy come in that I went to high school with that just kind of showed up, and he was kind of struggling with his wife. And I could see that he was in a bad spot. So I told him, it's like, look, man, there's a reservoir close by the shop. We can go over there, just kind of walk and hang out and take a rod and make some casts. So I mostly took him out there to try to get his brain right because I was concerned about him. And we end up going out there and we walked down this beach. It was low water in the spring. And we walked down this beach in this, our freshwater reservoir that kind of serves the county, and I see this brush pile out there that would normally be like 6 feet underwater. It's like, you know what, man, we ought to just throw around that and set him up with a couple flies, and he made some casts, and next thing you know, he catches a crappie, and
sockeye.
Yep. So for the next 2 hours we caught cast after cast, giant crappie. I mean, big ones for our area. And it kind of changed his perspective on life. I mean, I'm just bringing this up, not trying to be like whatever, but it just kind of brings you and grounds you back to why we do what we do. And next thing we're doing is like, let's see if we can catch them on top. You know, this brush pile is partly out of water. And we ended up catching 3 citation crappie on a topwater fly. You know, which normally you don't get that opportunity. So, you know, there's times and places for everything, but you know, crappie deserve a great place in our life too, man. Crappie or succulent deserve a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what? I mean, what it does is it grounds us and brings us back to why we do what we do. Sometimes it's about getting away from life. Sometimes it's about getting back to why we do what we love.
Well, I'll put it in perspective real quick. So we got a lot of people who are guides or were guides. If you got a call from somebody you didn't know, they booked a trip with you, and you're kind of sitting there by the boat, by the launch, and you don't know what you're going to get, would you rather see somebody that looked like that they were catching crappie and brim when they were 8 years old on a fly rod, or a billionaire who started fishing at 55 and wants to catch the biggest fish? I mean, who would you want to spend the day on the boat with, right?
I want to see my angler in proper tweed from head to toe, including underwear.
On the hottest day of the summer.
There's an inspection before you step on board, sir.
I mean, the obvious answer is the former, right? I mean, it's just like, let's get back to the joy of fishing being the actual source of joy, right? Like, I talked about, like, being oversold to, but I think we're also being, like, over-dramatized. Like, everything is, like, a GT at the end of the world on a 14 weight that you can't cast 180 feet, you know, and if you can't cast 80 feet of backing after your fly line, then you will never be as epic as us, you know, while like Tiesto dubstep cranks in the background. And that type of stuff is epic and fun, and we all love traveling, but it's just not a reality for a day to day, nor is it a reality of like how we all, no one's first fish was ever like a GT at the end of the world. And then their fly fishing began, you know, it goes the other way. And I feel like we've and I'm not even critiquing this, but like the film era in general, not even a specific event or source or anything, but like everything became super overproduced, super high res, super whatever. And all that stuff's really cool, but it's just not authentically a day to day.
Sounds like Blaine needs to make a crappie on top film.
And he needs to record it. You can't use anything over 1080p. You have to record it on a Nintendo DS.
On a handy cam.
The first one that had a camera.
We have this
you
idea.
You don't have to worry about me doing that because I don't know how to use any of it.
People will think he used a Nintendo, but he was using the 4K camera wrong.
You know.
I'll just use Tony's phone.
That'll definitely get what you're going for.
Be significantly worse than the 3DS.
On the Wii.
If any of Tony's greatest enemies or haters are listening and you really want to get under his skin, just insult his phone. Stay out of fisheries. Stay out of intellectual conversations. Just make
fun
of his phone.
I'm not even getting in this conversation.
Yeah, because it's going to deliver to you a week later. That's why.
I'm loyal, boys. Very loyal.
Yes, we can all blame Tony for the green bubbles in the group text. I think if anybody else in the group text has an Android, they're safe because we're all just going to beat up on Tony about it.
The second Android in the group is just hosing Tony the whole time. Thank God Tony's in here. They'll never know.
Scotty's finally at 63%.
What, yeah, I mean, Wi-Fi connection?
Whatever that means, that's all I see. Scotty's 63.
AOL dialing up in the background.
I don't know. I don't feel a bit over 50.
Yeah, Scotty's just like a freaking androgynous blob in his picture for me. I'd see a green hat, blue shirt. You're over here picking apart my sunburn. I can't even see what you look like.
Really?
I just see a smiling just.
I think Scotty's that tan pixel on the right there.
Story of my life. I'm 27% behind.
So Ty and Wookie, how is the fishing down in LA right now?
Windy. I mean, this time of year always brings weather and wind. You know, March was crazy windy, and I mean, it's just been really windy this spring, more so than usual. But I mean, I think it's definitely, it's been better. We've had worse springs, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years. This one's been a little bit better. You know, I still think we're kind of playing catch up on purgatory from that freeze, but it's better than it was, you know, 21 through 23. I consider those the worst years I could remember. So, not where we should be, but it's been good. Water's pretty decent. Grass is kind of showing up for the first time since Hurricane Ida. And, still got some fish around, so.
How's the business traffic right now? Are guides doing good, doing bad, somewhere in between in general? Has it stayed steady for y'all?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think it's really been on an incline by any means the past 2 years. It's been about normal, I guess.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean.
I will say this, when I have people come fish this time of year, the conversation's always like, you know, like, unless you get like one of those rare spring days where everything's nice, but typically it's like I've fished the last few days and it's just been a freaking wind tunnel every day. And, you know, the conversation's like, well, it's not always this windy, but, you know, this is saltwater fly fishing. Like, sometimes you have to fight through some adversity and get it done. And like Ty said, the fishing has been pretty good. So it's been fun. I love, and I know Ty, you feel the same way, that when you can fish in the smaller water and do the pond stuff where you got grass and the water cleans up, it's definitely some of my favorite kind of fishing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I just love, like, it's hard to beat. I mean, I know everybody loves fly fishing and all. My favorite thing this time of year is throwing, like, frogs, pretty much bass fishing them, throwing frogs in, like, matted grass to catch largemouth. And from now through, like, June, you'll be fishing, you know, in the areas we fish, you'll see a 10-pound redfish swimming with, you know, a bunch of bluegill. And I don't really know how many places on earth you see that. And that's...
I wonder how often they eat the bluegill.
They definitely eat them. I've cleaned a few with them in years past, and I've seen them chase after them. But I don't know. I think redfish just kind of eat whatever's there for the most part. But it's pretty cool. I always wanted to, like, take a live bluegill and, like, throw it at them just to see their reaction.
Fight the temptation, Ty. What do you think?
F around and find out.
Yeah, it'd probably be pretty cool. Eat it.
Even though I had 4 different fish, like, deny and refuse and short strike me today, which is, like...
Well, that's lame.
I don't even know what the hell that is. Redfish don't do that.
Stop throwing those damn flies, man.
Yeah, probably. It's because they've been getting run over. There was some redfish tournament.
Have you heard of a chatterbait before?
I'm not.
I know a guy.
Dude, a chatterbait bites a hell of a bite.
You know,
I love,
you know, we always hate fly fishermen. I mean, we hate when it's blowing, you know, 10 to 15 and like socked in clouds and gross. This is the only time of year that I kind of wake up and see like those clouds. And I mean, it's been blowing like 20 plus every day. Nobody wants that. But when we get that, like, you know, 8 to 12 morning and it's like socked in low cloud, you know, low ceiling, kind of get that super humid feeling in the air, I kind of get excited. I'm like, man, we're going to throw some popper flies and frogs and, you know, stuff that hangs out the top of the water column, big flies that swim up high and all over the grass. I don't know. Those fish just love getting as shallow and as in the crap as they can this time of year. And I kind of like that. It's like it's close to, like, you know, throwing flies or flukes or whatever up, skipping them up in the Everglades and the mangroves and all as we get to around here, you know. And it's just cool, you know. I feel like we fish for the same fish 365 days a year, but we do it like 10 different ways. And I think that's pretty cool.
Woo. So, Cody, what's going on in your part of the world here? Like, what do we got? What are you fishing for nowadays?
I'm not fishing for shit because I'm a cripple, unfortunately.
Come on, Blaine. Cody. Cody's squeezing foam cubes.
Yeah, I'm literally, I looked over yesterday and I'm like in occupational therapy at 10 in the morning. I'm picking up these little 1-inch foam cubes and like struggling to drop them in a little jar. And then someone's little grandma, she's like down the table from me. She's like, "You little bitch." I'm like, "Yo, chill, Grammy." Like, you know, she's like, "I can do 3 cubes at once, bitch." And I'm like, "God damn." So yes, for anyone who's not aware, I broke my hand, then I had to have surgery and shit after Thai Fest. But no, but the, you know, I mean, the answer is I still know the pulse of what's going on, though I'm not out there. The Jacks are in town. I mean, that's the fun. I was actually scrolling. It's so funny to get a little philosophical for a second, but I was scrolling something and I saw something on Facebook today that was obviously fed to me because of, you know, our connections and curriculum or whatever, but it was like, this one trash fish was hated by America. Now it's one of the hottest game fishes on the rise. And I always find it interesting because when you start to talk about something that's not loved, you get like two sides of the coin. You have people mad at you being like, it's a shit fish. Stop wasting our time and our money. And we don't need more regulations. No one loves them. And then you have the people who love them. We're like, stop talking about them. These are our little secret, yada, 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 yada. So it's interesting how you see you can get hate from both sides of the coin when you try to do something for a fish that isn't so loved. But I mean, Blaine, you're in town. I'm actually
very good at that.
Yeah, getting hate from both sides of the coin. Yes. You've mastered it. Your coin has three sides and all of them hate you. Yes. But yeah, you know, Blaine, they're in town. And what's funny is, you know, this fishery's struggling, all the Captain's Clean Water stuff, all the habitat loss, all the other stuff we're dealing with. But like, when these things show up, guides days get easier. There's more smiles getting back to the dock, right? Like more people caught the biggest fish they've ever caught in their life. And not everything, you know, if they're not something, if you want to take something for the table, it's not a 200-pound tarpon on fly. It's not as glamorous. You know, we love Andy and Nikki, but no one's going to get on the Millhouse podcast because, you know, how many jacks they've caught in their life. But, you know, they come to town and everything changes. And then the tarpon, you know, are starting to show up in certain places and that'll get going here soon. And this is really the migrations have become the fun part, Blaine, because our annual stuff, the old selling point used to be, here's all the things you might see in Stewart, but no matter what, 12 months out of the year, one of the best snook fisheries in the world. And that there's still 12 months of snook fishing, but it's not 12 months of like, oh my God, can you believe you even just caught that? You know, all these 34 inches are getting boring. Let's go chase the 40 somewhere else. And so it's cool to see the love and appreciation growing for some of those other folks. You know, all of us on here and our listeners have heard many a time, you know, Mike Holiday, but Mike just did a post the other day and he's super excited, caught our first Albie of the year. Mike's got it here for, I don't know, 40-something years, whatever. He's got everything under the sun that lives here. And he's super stoked that the Albies just got back in town. So seeing a little bit of a shift. I think you're seeing, like, the effort spread out a little bit more on things that are more abundant, things that are more fun, while the other stuff's struggling. But this is kind of the fun time for us, which is kind of a bummer to be stuck on lands right now. But this is definitely the fun time just because everything's coming into town. The migration will work its way north and south, and hopefully we'll be getting a bunch of pings here soon, as because these fish have been swimming for the last 12 months and a bunch have been tagged, unless Tony has learned some pings that we haven't yet.
Scotty, did you ever find out if those jacks were in Charleston? We were talking about that the other day.
I haven't got a trustworthy answer, but I'm pretty sure they are. Our water temperature just skyrocketed so rapidly.
They've been popping up over here too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're here. I got a fuel line issue where I would have been out yesterday, but we shall see.
So normally this time of year up in the bay, I mean, we'd be targeting the giant reds and the shallows, which Tony knows about. And I haven't had a chance to hit it this year. I've had friends hit me up. Friends hit me up about stripers moving up the rivers and the giant ones moving out now and heading north, the ones we do have. But I haven't had a chance just because of all the traveling I'm doing to be able to firsthand see some of it. I don't know if Tony knows how the big reds are doing in the bay, if you're seeing a lot. This is a time of year that I've had some amazing fishing. in shallow water for the biggest reds in the world. Sorry to disappoint you guys down.
That was such uncalled for.
I had to say it. You know,
you just had to, go there.
Depends on who you talk to down here, because there's some
people. Oh, come on, man.
Unders every day down here.
That is so true.
Hey, ain't it?
Missing the state record every day. All right.
What do you think, Tony? Have you heard anything about it? I have not been able to get out and do it this year.
Nor have I. I know that the, you know, those big schools, you're talking about the big fish in shallows.
Yes.
I haven't seen anything in open water. You know, it's kind of weird. It's not going to get above 60 degrees here for like the next week. It's going to be like mid 50s. So I don't, you know, you may be lucky. They may be showing up when you get back from Georgia, man. You know, maybe you can head down there. Yeah. I feel like we've had like one or two warm days, man, but it's been pretty chilly. Especially, like I said, especially for like the next week. So we certainly haven't seen anything up here yet. Lord knows when that'll be, but if at all.
When do the cobija come into your area?
That's Spanish for bag of milk.
Yeah.
They usually show up about the third week of May. Usually around, is that Memorial weekend? Is that right?
Something like that.
Or you may be thinking about Mother's Day. I won't tell her.
It's after Mother's Day. I know that much. But they start navigating north into Virginia like late May, 1st of June. And you know, if you have the right conditions, they'll stay in our bay for until September and start migrating south or out to the ocean. And I've had some amazing fishing, but last year was probably one of the worst years we've had. And I'm not sure if it's from salinity. I know it's overfishing. I mean, we can get into that if Tony wants to hop into that part. But, you know, they're seeing them a lot further north, like up into Jersey and all that stuff. And there's all kinds of like speculations on that stuff. And I talked to a lot of captains in the bay and, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into a downer about it, but, you know, I've seen it over the past 15 years, and each year it seems to be getting more pressure, more boats, more whatever. And you can blame it on menhaden fleets, you can blame it on whatever, but, you know, the problem is we love things too much, and cobia very rarely get put back, you know, to keep swimming, right? So I love them. I love to catch them. I love to target them. And when you're out there, you get the shots at those giant reds and big balls and have that big chance to giant balls. You get that
How
chance
big are those balls?
Big balls of reds. And
God, I love them big balls.
Big balls of reds.
I tell you, nothing gets me going in the morning. Nothing.
It's so
there's a reason you get up at 3 a.m. Yeah, you get to the dock.
I was waiting for somebody to catch that. But, you're out there searching and looking for cobia, and then next thing you know, you get that big glowing ball.
No, the last time my balls are glowing, I went to a doctor. They make an antibiotic
Cody,
for that.
You don't need anything else wrong with you, man, if your balls are glowing.
Fragile.
So anyway, we'll come back to it. You know, so what I'm getting at is, like, you know, before you're looking for, you know, pods of cobia, and now, I mean, the cobia are depleted, and now all the fishing fleets looking for redfish because they've depleted the cobia. Right.
So, I didn't know that the cobia would get into like group, like large groups, like balls of them.
Big groups.
Oh, nice.
One, I'd say Bailey, like for perspective, I won't say his name on here, but the guy that I probably caught more cobia than any person on God's group.
Come on now.
Blaine, he told me when he was running three boats, their best week ever was over 400 cobia.
Yeah. Yep.
That's insane. I never knew. I always just kind of assumed it was like small groups single fish.
Three boats, 1 week, 400 cobia.
Yep. No, I mean, I've been out there, you know, and I haven't done it, obviously, because I live in the sticks, but I've been out there where you have shots at 100 plus cobia a day.
Wow. Holy crap.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. All surface, all sight fishing, all that, you know.
That is a cool fish too, like you were saying.
They have like the holy trinity of bad setup, right? Because they're like pretty easy to see unless the water's stained. They are pretty agreeable, generally speaking, and they taste good, right? I mean, like if you're a fish, that's like the worst of the three options. If you are relatively easy to catch and you taste good and you're relatively easy to find because they're swimming around on the surface, they're swimming with big things. I know there's places where they're really hard, but I mean, they're kind of screwed from the get up, right? They don't go down to the bottom more often than not. It's a pretty bad setup to be a cobia.
Yeah, they get hammered all the way up the coast. South Carolina's got the unique fishery in the Broad River where it's, I believe they think they spawn there. There's three major humps, and at any slack tide or high tide, you can see them on the surface. And it's, like you said, fish in a barrel, 100 shots a day. I don't know about 100.
It's like the panhandle over there in Florida.
Yeah, I caught my first one in Destin.
Yeah, those guys over there, there's people that don't even target cobia anymore over there. And I don't know much about that because I've just done it tarpon fishing or just being over there in the spring. But I mean, you used to see so many boats right now cruising from Destin to Panama City and Pensacola and all that stuff. And it's pretty crazy. I mean, they're saying the same thing, that and the Kings too over there. But I don't do it enough over here. I mean, Kobe over here, more like a, I don't know, like
happy
pretty
accident.
Day. Yeah, pretty day. We ran around and we saw some, pulled up to a rig, you know, saw some, something like that. Pretty cool fish. I mean, I've seen them in like pretty crazy areas too, on the beach, hanging out with triple tail on a tree. Like they're pretty curious fish.
I don't know. I mean, I had an old timer. A long, long timer of the East Coast of Florida tell me the trick they used to use, the old cobia. I don't know if I've ever told this on the podcast, but if they had a big school of them, because they get on the big rays that are like on the bottom, not like mantas, but like the big drum rays on the bottom, and they'd be following those. And if they ever came up to the surface off it, they would just catch, this is like 40, 50 years ago, they would catch the first cobia, bring it in during cobia season, tie a milk gallon to it, an empty milk gallon, and throw it back in, because then it would just swim with the ray the whole time. So then you would just follow the milk gallon off the beach.
Yes. That's
and then do you know what we used to do that with? Sakale. First
yeah,
crop
we used to,
you catch in the spring.
Hey, listen, if you're driving around the marsh
of Louisiana.
We used
to take airline mini bottles and stick them in a sockle and throw them back in the pond and let them swim around,
right now,
you see.
If you go out there right now and you see a fluorescent orange, like 2 liter of cola, like swimming around, it's attached to like a ginormous alligator gar.
Or a 12-foot that ate it.
Yes, you'll just see a freaking 2 liter fluorescent orange bottle just like swim by the boat going the wrong way.
Or like
way.
A dead crackhead's body. That's really the one of the three options in Louisiana.
Oh my God.
That's good gar bait.
Yeah,
but a dead crackhead?
Boy.
And episode 200 is when the ASGA lost its nonprofit status and was dismantled.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think we did the 200th episode justice. Really, I think what we wanted to do for y'all is just, you know, like Cody was saying in the beginning, just real people, loved fish, you know, can get can get a little goofy, wear our hearts on our sleeves, but all of y'all kind of, everyone on here kind of made the podcast what it is. Y'all have all been great guests and, you know, usually a little bit more serious topics. This was obviously not one of those days, but I don't know. I look forward to doing another 200 more here over the next little bit.
You know, when you just said that, Tony, I'm just realizing other than Kyle Schaefer, who wasn't on this one, we got seven of us on here right now. And I would venture to guess, well, I mean, me and you skew this a little bit, but even excluding me and you, the other five of these gentlemen constitute 90, pick a percent, 90 something percent of all the podcasts. I mean, there was a handful with other staff early on. But the reality is, you know, all these guys have done little series, little episodes here, jumped in on recaps after meetings and stuff. But this is, you know, a majority of the episodes right here is us knuckleheads. It's cool. It's cool how it's come together. I mean, we had a comment, you know, managing the social of ASGA is really interesting. It's somewhere between like managing the Wendy's account and then, you know, managing one for like a research institute. It's a, and then like one for the U.S. government. It's everywhere in between politics and science and just stupidity. But we had a comment pop up the other day and it was like, boys, where's the podcast at? So we actually just have people asking like, hey, I've been checking and I don't see an episode. And, you know, that makes me and Tony's heart hurt a little bit because we feel like jackasses when we get too busy and fall off. But it's pretty cool that y'all give a shit. I remember being at an event with Tony in New England and a group of younger kids walked up and they were like, you're Tony. We recognize your voice from the guidepost.
And I was like, somebody in Arkansas recognized the guidepost that came into my place and were like, hey, you were on that thing about Menhaden or Redfish or whatever. And it's like,
that's wild.
Right.
That's wild. I mean, Tony, we've had outside of, you know, our crew right here, the ASGA team. I mean, we've made some new connections, some new friends, some new supporters, some new collaborators in research and policy. We've just had people holler. We've been on a public, you know, a meeting where someone jumps in and we're like, holy shit, who is that guy? And they're like, I don't know. I listen to the podcast all the time. I mean, this thing became a tool for doing good and fostering conversations outside of, you know, this one, outside of some really, really special conversations, right? It's been pretty cool to watch its evolution.
Yeah, I want to just get back to the Sokolay thing for a second.
Great.
I wasn't kidding, man. We would put like 4-pound mono between their mouth and their gill and just put a little balloon on the end and you'd follow the balloon around. Y'all start talking about gars and crackheads and gators and stuff like
that.
You
did that to Sokolay?
Yeah.
You did that to my Sokolay.
Yes.
What is wrong with you?
So we could wipe out the whole school.
It's nice to know we've all evolved a little bit.
You want to hear the
best? Except for Ty over there being tempted to throw a bluegill at a redfish, you animal.
And monster. And
you should be ashamed of yourself.
There's been a lot of things I wanted to throw at Jax that I knew would have probably went pretty viral, but I've
a squirrel, chipmunk,
squirrel, a nutria.
I remember growing up, there was this video of this bass eating a chipmunk that fell out of a tree, and I'll just never forget it, man.
So y'all want to hear some redneck shit?
Ty, you're lucky that officials in Louisiana ignore any emails from Saltwater Guides Association domains, or you'd be screwed, buddy.
So this Sokolay bluegill talk has got me thinking. My cousin is the uber redneck. Like, I know I dated a Louisiana girl, but Chapin, South Carolina has got it made. So I told my cousin I was going to go fish our family pond one time, and he said, you know what? Let me know when you're coming. I'll hang a chicken. I said, you know what, Bruce? I'm going to absolutely let you know when I'm coming because I have no idea what you're talking about, hanging a chicken, right? So I called him on a Wednesday. I said, hey, man, coming up there on a Friday, we'll go fish the pond. I said, okay, I'll hang a chicken. So I pull up, and there's like a Florida orange bag, like a mesh sack. Tony, there's a mesh sack, right? And he's got a whole chicken in there, like a fryer chicken. And it's been there for 3 days in the South Carolina sun, and every 10 seconds is dropping a maggot, right? And where do you think all the bluegill and the crappie, they're under that bag, right? All the bass are outside that eating the Sokolay bluegill.
If any of the people that live around me hear that, there's going to be nine bags of chicken hanging on Bayou Liberty.
Have you? I mean, you're from Louisiana. Have you ever heard some shit like that hanging?
No,
a
fucking we don't
chicken?
Do shit like that. All right, listen.
No, you do. Do
we're
shit
not
like
rednecks
that.
Down
you
here.
You just don't do it as elegantly as we do.
We're a cultured folk.
Yeah,
down here.
Yeah, we hang roadkill.
No, yeah. Don't get me started.
Scotty,
they're
actually scared they're going to summon the Rougarou. If they do anything with a chicken.
Yeah, if we hang a chicken, an alligator's going to be up in that damn tree.
Yeah.
I mean.
Chupacabra crappy.
Somebody would take it and stuff it and use it for crab bait or something. It would be stolen.
Oh my God.
The chicken in the back would be stolen here.
Well, I'm glad everyone got to learn how to hang a chicken.
Yeah, I mean, that's some backwoods, like, that's some
if I was Scotty, I would say
shit.
That's perverted.
You know, on those posts how they have to put, like, this is not financial advice. I need to put on this episode, this was not sportsman advice. Nothing you heard here is encouraged or supported. If you do it, do not cite. If you learn something new today, do not cite this episode in your court hearing with DNR the coming spring.
We've all been to the dark side.
Y'all any final words from anyone? Should we go around the ring real quick, Tony? Any final?
Take him on a chicken.
What? Hey, Blaine, we need a maggot changer stat.
I got it. Sick him on a chicken.
Sick him on a chicken.
Watch those feathers fly.
Mm-hmm. You heard?